Hey, man, thank you, Mixed Quartet. Sure do appreciate that. Want to also say another thank you very much to the Allens. Thank you so much for being here tonight. It's an honor to have you in our service, and I look forward to getting to know you better. I am biased, of course, but I believe that this church is a great missions church. I really do. And I am really, really honored to have you here with us this evening. Well, tonight we're going to continue our mini-series that I told you I would continue when I had the opportunity to speak, as Pastor Monty was out of town, on parenting on purpose. The first message that I preached as a part of this mini-series, I preached on Sunday evening, July the 27th. That message was directed primarily towards the parents. We discussed how parents, after all, are in the primary position of authority within the child's life. And according to Proverbs, it definitely is the parent's responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go. So we established our parental goal as being able to prepare our children for godly life as an adult and to prepare them to one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We talked about the parents. This evening, we're going to focus our message more on the biblical method of parenting as opposed to more modern-day methods of parenting. Just as in the spiritual warfare that takes place within the spiritual realm, there is also, I believe, the spiritual warfare aspect that is present within biblical parenting, within parenting. For example, from the beginning, God had a plan for absolutely everything that He created. You can look out and you can see the testimony of the precision and with the planning and with the orderly function of all of God's creation. It presents itself at every single turnaround in nature. Every aspect of nature exhibits this wondrous planning of God and what God does and what God's plans are. That's the way God is. He has a specific plan, a specific purpose, and desires for it to be carried out with a real sharp precision. However, on the contrary, Satan desires to spread essentially disorder and chaos in everything that he does. He desires for sin, himself, his minions, to be able to carry out disorder and carry chaos amongst all that is around. Even within the realm of parenting, it is possible for this chaos and disorder to take place and to seep into. He is extremely subtle, Satan is, in all of his attempts to lead parents away from biblical parenting. It will happen with a tremendous subtlety. So yes, just as within the spiritual realm, there is the fight between good and bad, between good and evil, between God and Satan, so it is the case also with parents. And those of you that are in the room that are parents or grandparents, you must ever be mindful of the fact that even when it comes to parenting, you are involved in spiritual warfare. It is not something that takes place simply within the realm of fleshliness or within the human realm. Even parenting itself is a warfare that takes place. And God has a plan for how you parent, but Satan would also like to throw you off that plan and cause you to parent in an unbiblical way. So, parents have to always be mindful of this constant battle that takes place within parenting methods. So, what I would like to do today is just highlight a couple of things. First, I would like to read a few scripture verses that will highlight how Satan works very subtly to try to throw things off of God's plan. And then what I would like to do is to then talk about some of the parenting methods that are very prominent in our day and time and how they may possess some good qualities. There is, as a whole, just enough present within them to throw them off, the parenting off of what God's intent is. Once we've done that, then I would like to present in brief what God's biblical plan for parenting is. And all of that has to take place within the next 20 minutes. So needless to say, let's jump right in. I'm going to ask you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're going to skip through some of these verses here. We're going to read one here, and then we're going to go through another passage and read there. We're just going to be hopping around the scripture, trying to find what Satan does to throw people off of what God's precise plan is. So in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, look with me if you would at verse number 11. The Bible says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, and so that tells us something about Satan. He desires to gain an advantage of us. Yes, parents, that includes you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So Satan uses devices as an attempt to gain an advantage over Christians. Specifically tonight, the application is going directly to parenting. So parents, there will be devices or methods, means that will be used to try to allow Satan to get an advantage over you as a parent. The travesty of parenting is if he gets an advantage over you as a parent, then he by default gets an advantage over your child. Hence, there is every reason for Satan to get an advantage of you as a parent, because it will have long-term generational effects if he can do so. So let's go to now 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 now. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And look with me at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, we're going to highlight this verse in a few minutes later on down the message. But today, I want to specifically draw attention to the fact that Satan beguiles through his subtlety. Rarely are Satan's attempts at throwing you off course dramatic, flashing road signs that say, "I am Satan, follow me here." That never happens. But Satan's attempts to throw us off of God's precise plan of parenting are oftentimes close enough to what we know is right that we don't question it so much, but yet far enough off of what we know is right that it actually gets us off course. So subtle, he will try to attempt our parenting methods and styles that we have to be careful of that. So be prepared. As we talk about what Satan would use as modern parenting methods, some of them you're going to think, I see a lot of good in that method. And parents and grandparents are going to think, there is some good there. And there will be some good present within them. But you have to remember that Satan's devices will oftentimes come with a great level of subtlety, just enough to throw you slightly off course. Because to throw you slightly off course will end up down the road being in a completely different position. All he needs is a subtle movement on a parent's part. Just get off the biblical method slightly, and he'll use a subtle way to accomplish that. Now go with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, and we'll look at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 11. Some of you may already have this verse memorized. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiles indicate not necessarily just a subtlety, but almost a trickery, a sense of trickery, a sense of you think it's one thing, but it ends up being another thing, a bait and switch type of situation. And so sometimes Satan will put something before you that appears to be absolutely right from the outside. But then just as you begin to engage it, or as you get down the road, you realize that it's not exactly as it appeared to be. And what did you fall prey to? You fell prey to the wiles of the devil, a trickery that is used to gain your interest and even participation before you realize that it was actually a trickery by which you have fallen victim to. So you have to be careful of these things. We'll look at one more verse, Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. In Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, this is what the Bible says. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Here we find that it is possible that vain deceit, philosophy, and tradition of men and of the world can potentially throw you off of God's precise plan, in this case as application for parenting. So what you have to be prepared for is you have to be prepared for philosophies, for traditions, and for even what would be considered areas of deceits that would pump you up and make you feel good. You have to watch out for those things, because those things will throw you off of God's plan. So that means that not everything that comes across as being the new and fresh and most popular method of parenting that guarantees production of the greatest and most successful child ever is going to be good and right. Because the traditions of society, the trends of a culture, and the philosophies of sometimes even very educated people are those things that Satan will use to throw you off of what he knows God intends for you. So here's what we would do. If we were to take the verses that we read, which are various serious warnings that are given to the believer, and we were specifically to apply them to the matter of parenting, and then we were to read from Genesis to Revelation and to discover exactly as Satan works in the lives of men, we would find out that these warnings that we are given must be heeded by every single believer. And we would discover, probably eyes wide open, that we need to be way more cautious and aware of Satan's working than we've ever been before. Satan will use subtlety to lead people to actions that are against their better knowledge of the Scripture. They know the Scripture. They even understand the Scripture. Perhaps have even memorized the Scripture. But in his subtlety, he still has the ability to lead a believer who knows and understands all of these things against what he or she knows. He's so subtle that he can work in that way. He can even form an apparent public consensus that applies an intense pressure to parenting actions and parenting decisions. It just seems like the pressure of the public society is such that this is the way it has to be as a parent. And there's lots of pressure in society. Those of you that are parents now, you feel the societal pressures that our culture puts on us in relationship to parents and what our children should be or not be, should be successful at or not be successful at. You feel the pressures. And Satan will use those consensus types of pressures, public pressures, to apply and to affect our decisions. Not only that, but Satan can even bring a comfort within the self of a parent that just keeps the parent from not wanting to change no matter what. I'm just too comfortable. I understand it may not be right or the best, but I am simply too comfortable to change. Well, Christian parents have to be certain that we don't fall victim and prey to Satan's subtle devices and attempts and pressures to throw us off. I would like to now mention to you three specific methods of parenting that will be more popular in our day and time, by which, as I say some of these things, you might think, I'm guilty of some of that, at certain aspects of it. And to be honest with you, it is very likely that almost every parent in this room, as I read through some of these things, is going to think, wow, I've actually been influenced some by my culture and by society, and I've tried to meld biblical parenting and just societal type of parenting into one package. And yes, that is very popular. That's the subtlety by which we can fall prey to these things. So I'm going to read through these things, I'm going to mention them to you, and I'm going to let you understand and see them. The first method we talk about, I'll just call the Freudian method of parenting. You're familiar with that, it goes back many, many years. This method of parenting emphasizes human behavior is primarily shaped by early childhood experiences. And those of you that have studied this method, this Freudian method of parenting, you know that there is an intense sexual nature to much of it that goes all the way back to the birth of a child, all the way through to the child becomes an adult. It was this method that popularized what we would call the first stage development theory, which is basically at the early stages, before they really even develop specific logic, there are certain things that can take place within the life of a child that will impact or change or absolutely influence who they are as an adult. As an example of this idea is the possibility of premature toilet training and an emphasis on toilet training before the child is actually ready that ultimately ends up creating within the child a fixation that eventually develops into an obsessive compulsive type of nature within the child. And that's what it would say. It takes things that take place very early in the child and claims that those specific events, though the child is very little, trigger what ultimately becomes the main characteristics of a child's life. This method of parenting ultimately cripples parents because parents have a constant underlying fear that something they say or that something they do is going to cause a problem in the life of the child that will then follow the child all the way into adulthood. This method ultimately leads to a very passive approach of parenting or leads to what we would call child-centered parenting, where the child essentially determines the parenting based on what they want or don't want or do or don't do or desire or don't desire. The parent follows the lead of the child when it comes to their parenting method. This is what we would call, I'd call the Freudian method of parenting. Secondly, the humanistic method of parenting. The next two will actually become a little bit more popular, a little bit more of the things that you would think are more familiar to us. This method of parenting essentially has two main thoughts that come along with it, the humanistic. First is children are born fundamentally good and are corrupted by the negative influences of the life. This ideal essentially leads parents to often seek doctors and medication to resolve any types of parenting issues that they may have. Because, after all, if the child is fundamentally good and then begins to go bad, then it has to be able to be fixed by medicine or by some type of doctor's care. It is oftentimes this case, when taken to a doctor, that doctors or physicians, psychiatrists, will then delve into the history of the child and then go back to the Freudian method to try to find that event years ago that is triggering the bad behavior now. Oftentimes, they'll end up putting a child on some type of medication, completely intending them to keep them on this medication long term, never really intending to get them off of it. This behavior or this type of parenting style is crippled by the possibility of parents just feeling future guilt. My child is good, and I don't want to mess them up. And if I mess them up, I have guilt because I don't want to be the one to cause that. That's all a part of the humanistic method of parenting. Not only that, but it's also the idea that high self-esteem is essential for personal happiness. This idea emphasized kids thinking very, very highly of themselves. This is the premise of this style of parenting. The kids must think highly of themselves. Praise is going to boost their self-esteem. Success is going to increase their self-esteem. And it's very important that their self-esteem be high. Punishment, on the other hand, and failure are going to damage their self-esteem. And therefore, those two things must be prevented. This idea is evidenced when you see children who lack all self-control when they experience some type of disappointment because they expect to be given everything to keep their esteem high. It's oftentimes even evidenced when you go to competitions of children or little leagues and you see parents emphasizing that there truly are no losers in life. We're all winners and let's just not keep score. This is all in an attempt to simply increase and improve and to build the self-esteem of a child because a built and robust self-esteem will lead to a successful child. Children who can't handle defeat or disappointment, that's what you end up with. Or children who simply have a superior sense of entitlement.
They simply, the children, ends up with a mentality that says, if they want it, they should have it. They're entitled to all of their wants. That's ultimately what it produces. These parents cater to as many of the desires of the children as they possibly can. They give them everything they ask for, and they protect them from any type of discouragement or failure or harm at all costs. It's all about making sure the child has a high self-esteem. This is all a part of the humanistic method of parenting. And then the last one I'll talk about is what I call the behavioral method of parenting. This method of parenting believes that behavior is rewarded, that is rewarded is strengthened, while behavior that is not rewarded weakens. As an example of this, they'd say that you could get a rat maze and stick a rat within the rat maze. And when the rat comes to a point of decision that one way leads to a dead end or another way leads out of the maze, that if the rat chooses the correct way, you reward the rat. And that next time it comes to that point of decision, that spot in the maze, it will go the right way. And when it goes the right way again, you continue to reward the rat. And that repeated rewarding of it choosing the right direction ultimately instills within that rat the ability to do right. There's only one problem with that. Our children are not rats. That's a given. Not to mention the fact that our children are engaged as we are in a spiritual warfare that includes outside pressures that rats do not experience. Parental discipline in this case is just basically manipulating reward and punishment. You just manipulate the rewards. But parents who use this idea of promising, they basically promise good things all of the time. That's their style of parenting. If you do this good, then this is what you'll get. And then if you do this good, this is what you'll get. And that is their method of parenting. It is the promising of things in order to produce the good behavior that they want. If you sit good in the back seat in the car, then when we get there, I'll give you a candy. And then you arrive there. If you stay in that seat and don't move and be good, then when we leave, I will buy you McDonald's. And then if you eat all of your McDonald's, then when you get home, you will actually get a popsicle. And then if you clean your room after you eat the popsicle, and it's all a constant promise of what you're going to get if you do good. That's this method of parenting. Ultimately, this method of parenting can become very frustrating and very stressful because you can only give away so many things before a child simply loses interest. Either as a young child, a preteen, or you simply run out of money when they become a teenager because what you give becomes far more expensive. These are the three primary, what I would discuss tonight, the three primary methods, most popular methods of parenting that you see out there today. Now, as I discuss these methods of parenting, there are features of each one of these methods by which are admirable and are good things to do. But as a whole, if this is exclusively the method of parenting that you are using, then you will end up in a very frustrated state. Because you are not following a biblical method of parenting. Or if you find that as we speak of these things and as you hear of these things, you are doing a molding together, a piecing together of biblical methods and these newer style methods that are common in our day and time, you mold them together. You might have some times of tremendous joy. But you may also have some times of tremendous frustration. The best thing to do would be to abandon all worldly methods of parenting, to be very conscious and aware of the subtlety that will throw you off the biblical parenting, and to simply commit yourself to saying, I will parent according to the scriptures. So how do you parent according to the Scriptures? Well, that's going to come in my future messages. So stay tuned. But I will say this as I close. I will say this. When it comes to biblical parents, and I want to draw your attention to a truth. You remember the text that we read in Corinthians that expressed how Satan would beguile or trick and would draw us away from the simplicity that is in Christ. I'm going to say this, and I firmly believe this, that what 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3 is telling us is that the simplicity that is in Christ, I believe, is even applicable for parents, in that God intends for Christian parents to know exactly what to do. I believe God intends that. I don't believe there is a parent in this room who God wants to be in the dark or unknowing or ignorant of what to do as a parent. He wants you to be equipped with the knowledge. Biblical parenting, when you compare biblical parenting to all of these other methods of parenting, you will come up with a conclusion, and that's this. There is a distinguished simplicity that is present within biblical parenting, especially compared to all other modern methods. Biblical parenting simply seems so simple. But I believe that's the way that God intends it, because the simplicity of biblical parenting matches the simplicity of children's minds. And I believe that this is exactly how God intends for biblical parenting to be. We're going to talk in my next one about taking the first step of biblical parenting, which is the need to train up a child in the way he should go. But before a parent can train, he has to have the authority to give instruction. Nobody that does not possess the authority cannot give the instruction, because it simply may not be heeded. And sometimes Christian parents find themselves exceedingly frustrated because you are trying to give them biblical direction, but it just seems like you don't actually have enough control and authority to get their attention to provide the instruction. They won't listen. They won't stop. They won't do what you say. So the first step that we will begin talking about next time is establishing your child's authority. Establishing it while they're young, and then carrying that out to what becomes the authority of a child once they reach adulthood. That's what we'll talk about in our next sermon. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we prepare this evening to close in a word of prayer. Tonight has been a message where I specifically and purposefully wanted to draw your attention to some of the modern methods of parenting, because it is my speculation that some of these modern methods are present and are being used heavily by Christian parents, or maybe even grandparents, that are here tonight. I'm not saying you're wrong for that, or I'm not judging you, because we all have the potential of this. But what I'm asking you to do is for every parent to seriously consider your role as a parent. I'm asking you to take it serious enough to evaluate your methods of parenting and to verify whether or not some of these methods that the world or society would use are present or are heavily used in your parenting. I'm going to ask you, if you would, let's all stand together. I'm going to open up the invitation. Mary Kay is going to start playing the piano, and we're going to open up the invitation. If there's anybody here tonight that would like to have a special need or something on your heart that you would like to bring before the Lord, the altars are open. Of course, tonight we talked specifically to parents. And if you're a parent here that says, "Lord, you know, I want you to help me, please, as a parent, help me." Or maybe there's grandparents here, and when I talk, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you don't understand it, but you see some of these things being used by your children with your grandchildren. Whatever the case is, the altars are open. And I definitely think our parenting And what we do with our children is worth a trip to the altar if God has spoken to us. So, Mary Kay, if you'd play.